it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome back to another episode of Red Tinted Glasses. Whether you're tuning in on audio or video, welcome along. It's been a pretty quiet week, so apologies for the 1 week gap, but Callum, you didn't have any transfer news to discuss.
Oh, it's dull, it's boring. Barely anything's happening in Scotland at all, and I'm just, it's really boring. I mean, I'm unemployed, I'm not back at uni yet. I've really had nothing, no Aberdeen games to go to, nothing's been going on in the transfer market. I'm bored out my nuts, so thank goodness football's at least back.
Good to get your unemployed gig back, plug even back in there. So if anyone wants to employ this plug, then give him a ring, give him a DM. Said no kind of real kind of talk to discuss on the episode. We are going to preview Friday's Scottish Cup clash against Clyde, where we were joined by Paul, who is the Clyde's media correspondent. So thank you very much to Paul for his time in joining us. But only kind of a couple of pieces of note maybe worth discussing, Callum. Some interest in terms of transfer around Duke, clubs from Italy, Holland, Switzerland, and the Championship. Sniffing around, I think there was a discussion around Young Boys being interested in around about a €3 million bid. Does €3 million sound like a reasonable price for Duke at this moment in time? I know you'll probably be listening to your thoughts, remember?
I don't know. When I first saw that number being banded around, which I think the Young Boys thing has been a bit poo-pooed by Evening Express or Press Journal, whoever, but I was quite disappointed. But then you got to consider, I suppose, that his contract's up at the end of next season. They've not managed to get him to sign a new one yet. He's not been hitting the heights that he has last season. It's profit, but we'd have to give 50% of it to Benfica if things are correct. I think Jim Goodwin actually came out and said himself that would be true. So I don't know. A bit disappointing. And I guess if he wasn't going to sign the contract, we might as well have sold him when we were going to get the most amount of money for him in the summer. Or that's hindsight, I guess, because we wouldn't have known that he perhaps wasn't going to hit the heights. So I don't know. It upset me greatly. But Aberdeen models bring them in, sell them for profit, and who knows, maybe Pappy Habib Gaye will step up to the plate if he does go. But ideally, he doesn't. He signs a new contract and he's here forever.
Yeah, and I can't wait for you to probably chase him around Player of the Year, saying "Sign the contract again," because you are.
And he'll have no idea what that one means. Half of them I said to it last time didn't know what it meant, and he certainly wouldn't. I would doubt.
No, he wouldn't. Another thing you want to wear a black armband in reference to is, of course, the sad passing of the South Stand fence, which has now been taken down. I wonder if it just remained whilst we were still in European competition with the big crowds expected from both Pauk and, well, at the time, Eintracht Frankfurt. But the fence is no longer, so our first home game against Celtic, which I know you've got a lot of comment around, will be the first game with no fence. It'll be interesting to see what that is like for you in Section S.
Seems mental that they removed it for the Celtic game, don't you think? To be honest, the whole removing of it is quite sad. You know, we've had a lot of good memories. Charging towards him, particularly scoring against Rangers. I don't think such charging will be happening quite so much now that it's removed. And I know the fact they've removed it is so that we can have like more flexible, like away crowds, essentially, for teams that maybe aren't going to bring quite so much. We can, you know, take some of that back for us. But are we going to even sell those tickets? Are we going to sell them for Livingston at home? Are we? I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
I don't see the point, and it's upsetting. And removing it before Celtic at home seems insane. Could they not have just waited until right after that?
I'm still intrigued as to how they're kind of going to segregate it as such, because obviously in that area you've got the pie stall and the toilets for the away fans. So where is kind of, are we just going to move the tarpaulin? But I'm pretty sure the kind of pie stall, and that's right behind the nearest section to Esso. Interesting to see how they move that. But I'm looking forward to when we give Hearts 600 tickets out of pure pettiness in a few weeks' time. I'm sure that'll happen. Although, actually, no, we don't play them as Tynecastle, so we would have to be in the split if it's going to be done. So we'll remain to see. But there has been...
You're in the top half, you mean?
Yeah, exactly. It remains to be seen. There has been, before we get into the preview of the Clyde game, a couple of fixture amendments. So we had a week off last week. We were hoping to do an interview, but we haven't quite got it confirmed yet. But we're looking forward to that one when everything is signed and sealed and getting that out to you as soon as possible. But some fixture amendments see the Dons play Dundee at home at the end of the month, 29th of January. And what better way to spend your Valentine's Day than under the floodlights at Pittodrie watching the Dons take on Motherwell? I know where I'll be on Valentine's Day, proudly standing freezing cold in the red shed.
Oh, yeah, I know. I don't know if Caitlin will be too happy to break there when I break the news. I don't think I have told her yet that the fixture's been amended. Hopefully another Aberdeen 7, Motherwell 2. Roses are red, violets are blue. The other way around, not an inverted poem like that. But, yeah, that would be nice. That would be a nice little way to mark Valentine's Day. But I've not broken the news to my dearest quite yet, my good lady.
Yeah, no, I was like, apologies if you hadn't, and she's actually sitting there in the room and I'm like, ruined that for you. But
oh no, she's living up in your homeland, the Netherlands. She's having a great time.
Oh yes. Well, I'm hoping she's having fun. So the Dons are back in action, as we've said, on Friday night. There is a fan zone for those of you travelling down to the game. The at the main entrance of New Douglas Park, there is a fan zone that can hold up to 250 fans. So those of you like Callum that are heading down can maybe enjoy that pre-match along with other things. Callum, we're hoping to see the return of a back four, not a back five. Any other hopes from yourself ahead of this game on Friday?
Oh, just fucking win. That's my only hope, given, you know, Darvel last year and other cup results against lower league teams, which, well, we've won, but the performance hasn't been quite convincing. Mm-hmm. Just go there, win, get back up the road. No problem. I'd be delighted with that.
Yeah, name in the hat for the next round. Strongest possible team from the start, please, Barry, and a back four. I'd like to see that midfield that we saw again against Ross County take shape, to give them some more opportunities to get used to each other, because I think that is our best team, certainly roundabout way. And we do have a kind of quite heavy fixture list coming up after this, so it's a chance to get minutes into the legs for players after the winter break. So really looking forward to seeing a return to football. I'm not going down to the game on Friday. Quite ironic, though, after the winter break, we now see the most winteriest weather. Always seems to be the way, doesn't it, Callum? But I know you're going down, so have a good trip down. And for those that are maybe on their way to Clyde this Friday, if you're tuning in on Friday, here is our chat with Paul, Clyde's media correspondent, previewing the game. Paul, thanks very much for joining us on Red Tinted Glasses this evening. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, gents. Thanks for having me. Wish I could say that Clyde were storming to a league title when I was coming on here brimming with confidence, but yep, well, where we are.
Well, we're not obviously speaking about a league game, because the Scottish Cup journey starts for both Aberdeen and Clyde this Friday night in the live television encounter on BBC Scotland. I'm sure Clyde fans are hoping for a repeat of what Darvel did last season. We're going to get it in, because Paul, you probably will end up mentioning it if we don't say it. But before we speak about the game itself on Friday night, can you give us a bit of an insight into how the season's been so far? Because, you know, from outsiders looking in, you've mentioned, you know, Clyde are not sitting in the dizzy heights of League Two. It's been quite a turbulent season, maybe both on and off the pitch, of course, because the game's actually taking place at New Douglas Park on Friday night because of situations off the field that have affected Clyde this season.
Well, how would I start describing this season, to be honest, Glenn? I'm mindful of my role at the club. I need to be careful with my language. It's been, up to a certain point, disastrous. I don't think anyone at the club or anyone in the stands are going to disagree with that assessment. At the summer, there was a kind of change of how we were structured in the footballing department. We went down that kind of European continental director of football head coach thing. Mm-hmm. And in principle, I think I liked it. The implementation and thereafter was sadly very, very lacking. And that ultimately led to us partnering with Jim Duffy fairly early into the season. And I think that was around, I'm going to get this wrong, September 10th, I think, roughly.
Was that decision to part with Jim Duffy widely kind of appreciated by the fans, accepted, or?
Yeah. It came to a point where it became so toxic.
Mm.
Jim, in his first term at the club, we're going back 10 years, he was on a shoestring budget, easy for me to say. And what he did was borderline miraculous with the squad that he had at that time. And when he came back to the club, it was November last year at the time where we went 12 losses in a row, under Danny Lennon and the interim charge of Alan Moore. We needed that experience. So there was merit.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't universally accepted in the Clyde support, but there was some merit bringing Jim Duffy in. But there was always that niggle. Even from his first time, he brand of football, etc. It was never too pleasing on the eye.
Mm-hmm.
But it got results. And that was the kind of hope. But it done neither, really. Mm-hmm. The relegation that we suffered last year was inevitable. It had been inevitable since September the previous year, earlier in that season, I should say. So it got to the point where we had to make the decision. We had to be fair to Brian McLean as well. I think there was a crossover in what the role should have been with regards to Jim being a director of football and Brian being the head coach. Jim was perhaps, watch what I'm saying here, he was perhaps too involved in training.
Okay.
Or more involved than he needed to be.
Yeah.
So there was the hope thereafter that would then free up Brian McLean. He was very inexperienced in the management term. But he was a good enough coach. And I think from getting to go to training and do these interviews with the players and the staff, I could see that he was a good coach, but that doesn't translate to victories. There's more to being a good manager and a good leader from the sidelines than just setting out good training. You've got to be able to read a game and know when to make changes, etc., etc. And I'm sure you guys have discussed that at great length and over the years as well.
See Callum pitching.
I can see him nodding along there.
Yeah.
So again, what happened with Brian had to happen, but it made the next decision thereafter so pivotal because we'd only won one league game by that point. A smack on the draws. Thankfully, at that point, Elgin hadn't got their own house in order. They were quite happy to stink the place out with us. The appointment of Ian McCall is huge for our season. It's massive. The kind of picture from then has been a slow, gradual kind of increase in performance. Maybe a wee bit better in recent weeks, but whilst we got to obviously the round of the cup that we're in to face yourselves by beating Musselburgh, albeit that was before Ian, and then Genefield.
Yeah.
Who I think many people were fancying to knock us out because of what they'd done to Elgin just around prior. But the truth be told, we kind of dealt with them kind of minimal the first, to be quite honest. Okay. It was 2-0. We finished the game with 10 men as well because we never liked to make it easy for ourselves. and that was Ian's first game, I think. I think it was his second game. I can't quite remember the order. But his first league game, we lost 4-0 at home.
So
he kind of was aware at that point what was needed. So where we're at now, it's been horrendous. It's been disastrous. It's salvageable. And I think we're at least in a place now where it looks like we've got the right tools and the right management, the right coaching staff to actually be the ones to save us.
Yeah, and I think, you know, interesting, the point you make about kind of you and Elgin in terms of getting your own houses in order, you kind of see that about the, I don't know if desperation is the right word, but desperation to avoid being Club 42 between yourselves, because probably neither of you want to drop out of the SPFL just now. But how difficult has it been as well for Clyde not being able to play at Broadwood and obviously the home games being in Hamilton? Do you feel that's had any effect on yourselves?
The lack of Clyde having a home has affected us for way, way longer than probably many on the outside probably truly appreciate. Mm. Clyde have effectively been homeless since 1986.
Yeah, I mean, before our time.
Yeah, I mean, I was two when Clyde left Shawfield. So it's been a burden that the club has long had. Now, technically, Shawfield wasn't Clyde's when we left. It had been the Glasgow Racing Association that had owned it since the kind of 30s, but we had that kind of terminal lease, etc. That obviously then came to an end. But when you look at kind of Broadwood as a kind of case point that you brought up, Broadwood should have been more for us, but it was never really going to be more because we could never truly earn income from it.
Okay.
Everything we made, the council took everything that was made on a match day at the pie stalls, everything that way. We just got our gate receipts, which you're like, okay, that's fine. You increase your gate. We never did. I mean, there was a wee bit of a boom at the start, but true to Clyde's form, very first season of Broadwood, we get relegated from what is now the Championship, the old First Division from early 90s currency. So instantly, we were on to a downer because the locals were like, oh, great, they're rubbish. Why do I want to go back? And it took us a good few years before we had a winning team in the park again. But sustaining that was really, really difficult. And what we kind of lost from moving from Glasgow and Rutherglen to Cumbernauld kind of netted off. We lost a kind of older core. We gained a small pot of younger fans who still follow the club to this day. So the attendance has never really done anything. It plateaued, really.
Yeah.
And out with a couple of big games, I get to mention the Celtic Cup game because it's a cup podcast. Yeah. Any chance to bring that up, quite frankly. a couple of games against Rangers, friendlies, and another Scottish Cup tie with Gazza playing for them and Charlie Nicholas playing for Clyde. It's a sentence that I never thought I'd ever really say going back to my childhood. We played Man U at Broadwood in a friendly 2005. And that was Wayne Rooney, Rio Ferdinand, Ruud van Nistelrooy's of the world. We couldn't ever really get the folks of the Cumbernauld area to really buy in.
Yeah.
And if you bring Man United to town and the folks are like, aye, that was nice, but I'm away. There was only so much you could do. Now, we could have done so much better, but ultimately the kind of anchor that held us back was just the inability to make money. And us leaving Broadwood was always inevitable. We have to get back to Glasgow. We need that identity again.
Yeah.
We are a club that we identify as a Glasgow club, but we have not played in Glasgow since 1991. When we were ground sharing with our nearest and dearest Partick. So, yeah.
quite scary to be away for a long time. But, you know, I was kind of worried about the fact that the game was going to be at New Douglas Park, given, you know, I thought our recent record there was actually quite poor. But on reflection, it turns out we're unbeaten in six. So, concerns slightly eased, but who knows what we'll face come Friday night.
And since Ian McCall's come in this season for Clyde, things seem to have turned a little bit of a corner. I think it's fair to say an impressive win against Bonnyrigg Rovers recently and a good point away at the weekend East Fife. Are you beginning to see signs of promise, a little bit more hopeful of your chances of survival, I suppose?
Yeah, absolutely, Carl. The last six games, it's quite telling that I think this stat, nobody has outscored Clyde in League Two in the last six games, and that's including Stenny, who are going on a crazy record-beating run for the league. But at the same time, only two teams have conceded more than Clyde in that six-game period. So the improvement's there, but the flaws are still there too. A wee caveat to that, the two games that you brought up are the two games that the new signings were able to kind of play a part in, and two of them being centre-halves and the other being a kind of attacking midfielder, Robbie Leach, and the two centre-halves being Lee Hamilton and Kay Cowie. Now, unfortunately for us, two of them are cup-tied, so it's going to be kind of jiggering things about and trying to make what we can out of it. The squad is tight at the moment. But on your point, the improvement under Ian McCall, it's been subtle to a point, but the last two games, the level of performance has just went up a whole new level, to the point where we went to East Fife and it was a really slow start. We did not get going for the first 15 minutes. But for the remainder of that game, we were just camped in East Fife's half, with the exception, I can think of one kind of half chance that East Fife had. We hit the post, we rounded the keeper a few times, and it was just the angle. We couldn't get the cut back right. Just final decisions, the final pass, and just didn't quite hit. The game before, the Bonnie Red game, was the most one-sided 3-2 I have watched in a long time. And Ian touched upon it when I interviewed him after the game. He was like, at 3-0, we're thinking this is going to be 4-5-6 if we just kept going. But in Clyde fashion, with 12 minutes to go, you're facing your own goal, you give the ball away. And all of a sudden, the team that has only won one league game up to that point came out in abundance. The fear was in the eyes. Even with a two-goal lead going into the 91st minute before we conceded again, there was real fear in the players that had been there to that point, because their confidence has just been obliterated.
And I think that's something that I'd kind of looked at. Obviously, after the draw, you kind of watch out for Clyde's results. I don't know, obviously having no one seen where they were in the league, but noticing that they were maybe picking up the odd result, as you said, pre kind of recording, the draw against East Fife was maybe more frustrating, and as you've just kind of explained as to why. But I remember the Bonnyrigg game and thinking, oh, I was going to have a wee flutter at that weekend, and Bonnyrigg was one of my picks, and I never ended up putting on. I was just as well. But, you know, you're 3-0 up and you then look at that at the 90th minute and see 3-2 and you're like, oh, well, Clyde are still maybe the Clyde of old. And do you kind of have a bit of fear then ahead of Friday night with the nervousness that you allude to, that one win kind of game that you've spoken about, with, you know, you've got the cup ties, you mentioned you'll have a player suspended given the red card from the Gene Field game. Is there that nervousness about Friday that you don't see the kind of positive signs shining through?
If we were going into this in good form, we would be nervous. I mean, yeah, even in a best case scenario, if we were a winning, confident team, we play Aberdeen in the current circumstances, with the clubs being where they are, 99 times out of 100, Aberdeen will win and win comfortably. I mean, that's just fact. I mean, I'd love to say it was different, but it's fact. And I'll make my peace with that for the time being. But I think the hope for myself is that, despite our deficiencies, is that the winter break is maybe just kind of came at a bad time for yourselves, in the sense that you're coming up almost a no-win game. And that's where I'm trying to look at it, rather than be fearful of what we can do to ourselves, is, well, what can we do to Aberdeen? And I apologise, I'll bring it up a year ago. That's got to be the kind of blueprint for ourselves. I know it's a different Aberdeen team, it's a different kind of a whole different landscape. But that's got to be how we approach it. It's fearless. We've got to go in fearless, regardless of the kind of many deficiencies that remain. The main fear I have is what impact losing Lee Hamilton and Robbie Leach has. We did also lose Alex King. He went back to Morton. That was before the East Fife game. Now, the kind of chat is that he could come back. Whether or not he comes back in time to face yourselves would certainly swing my mood slightly more positively if he did, because he's only 18, maybe 19 now, Alex. He's got a lot of ability, but still very young. He's played a lot of football, despite his age, for Morton and ourselves. And he can hit a ball. I mean, the two goals, being scored for us this season are unbelievable. Unbelievable strikes. So he's capable of that moment of kind of brilliance out of nowhere that we need for this kind of game. Do we have others capable of it? Probably, yeah. But at the same time, we're talking about young players, really, that we're left with. Keane Leslie's probably the one I would look to next. He's on loan from Kilmarnock. But again, we're looking at a really young player. Lightning fast, bag of tricks, but much like a youngster who hasn't got much football under his belt, it's that final pass. It's not meant to cross. It's not meant to release. It's not meant sometimes just to shoot. And yeah, he can be hot and cold with that, but he's capable of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's at the back. I mean, if there's one stat that I can give you as to why I am scared ahead of Friday, is that we concede two goals a game on average. That's 19 games so far in the league and 38 goals against.
Yeah, it's a concern, I'm sure.
Big time.
It might make you feel better that we've not been the best at the back really this season either. So it might make you feel a little bit better about things.
I mean, it's clutching, but I'll take it.
Yeah.
Mark Carr has come into the coaching staff recently, which adds a little bit of spice to this sort of, this fixture as well. Former Aberdeen player who probably didn't have the best relationship, Glenn. You maybe remember a bit better than me with Aberdeen fans, whilst captain here. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, no, definitely not. And the whole, obviously, the get up your celebration when he scored, I think it was against Kilmarnock, if memory serves right. I think part of the team that lost to Wraith in the Scottish Cup under Mark McGee as well. So, yeah, not really. Certainly ended his Aberdeen career not in the utmost favour with Aberdeen fans. And I know Ian McCall's got a bit of a love-hate relationship with Aberdeen fans as well. So feels like there's a bit of a script being written, Callum, ahead of Friday night.
Yeah. I think it certainly made me feel a bit more nervous, as if I wasn't already going into it, given not even just Darvel, but I suppose recent history in the Cup, even when we've won against sort of Stirling Albion and Arran Athletic, we've not been convincing. But do you think, how much impact do you think Mark Carr, someone as experienced as him in the game, coming in can affect Clyde and their hopes this season, not only just this weekend, but a little bit of spice added to the fixture?
I think when you look at the full coaching setup, so Ian McCall obviously being the manager, we've got Neil Scally as assistant, and now Mark Kerr as one of the coaches at the club. And Mark Kerr was kind of assistant unofficially a week, maybe 2 weeks before his official appointment. And what I've certainly noticed when going to the kind of training sessions for the interviews, Mark Kerr has brought a bit of a, I don't know, kind of camaraderie. He's kind of brought that team building element. Whereas obviously you've got Ian and Neil Scally there, they're maybe more disciplined. They're the guys that are there to make sure that not a second's wasted. Just for an example, Ian McCall literally stood and timed him one time. They were standing talking and he just screamed at them, hell for the earth, being 1 minute 15 seconds. Have done that. He's like, hey, we're talking about this later. And I was like, all right, okay. Mark Kerr's just chuckling away to the back room. The other people's. So it's a kind of good cop, bad cop. But from an experience, maybe he's not going to call upon his time at Aberdeen if he wasn't so swell there. He played certainly a lot of football in kind of championship, first division, if however you want to call it, in Scotland. he's managed as well, albeit briefly. I think ironically he took over Ian McCall.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Correctly. So there's obviously a relationship there too. And I think having that kind of trust between the three of them to do what they need to do in the training ground is going to be important for us going forward. I don't think we can look at just one. I think we've got to look at them as a team and the different elements, because they'll all be equally important.
Yeah, and you mentioned it in the last part when you were speaking, and I wonder if it's maybe another straw that you're clutching onto as well, is the fact that obviously Clyde have been playing over the last few weeks and continuing the slow upturn in form, as you mentioned. Aberdeen have had the winter break, and I don't know if we return to training today given the inclement weather that we had here in Aberdeen, with depends if the Sports Village was free to be booked or not. So maybe we've potentially lost a day's training. How much impact, if any, do you feel the fact that Clyde have going to have been playing right up may have any impact on the game? Because so we're going to be coming in a bit cold. Could Clyde look to catch us off guard a little bit at the start of the game?
I think that's it's got to be something that we try to do. And whether or not we're successful, I mean, but we have to just go out and it's a cliche, give everything. I hate it. But no footballer ever doesn't try when they I genuinely believe that. They don't not try. But we have to just go out and try and make a headline. It's as simple as that for Clyde this weekend, or Friday, I should say. It's not really about trying to match Aberdeen, because we're not going to. Realistically, we're not. We need you guys to have an off day. We need that benefit of playing kind of more regular football, and you guys, hopefully, no offence, maybe a couple of days snowed in without being able to train. But at the same time, we're talking about full-time players. You guys have got internationals in your team. So there's still going to be a benchmark that we would struggle to get up to, regardless of how cold you come into the game. But I think the first 15 minutes, 20 minutes are key for us. If we can keep it level, we need to try and frustrate you guys up in the stands as long as we can, and it'll take a big effort, there's no doubt about it. I've not even touched upon the injuries that we've got as well, so our squad is looking quite sparse at the moment, quite frankly. With the suspensions and a couple of injuries, and obviously the cup tie players. So I'm hoping Ian is currently, will be at training just now, because we train Monday, Wednesday. Anyway, so that's worked out in our favour for once this week. So I'm hoping Ian isn't doing too much on the training ground. I hope he's on the blower. I hope he's signing some contracts as we speak.
Which is why you've managed to give up some time to speak to us tonight and not having to do any media announcements on social media for new
stuff. One of the other guys is at the training ground, just in case. I think there's a BBC are doing, I think, a video thing tonight, and then there's a photo roll call on Wednesday. So I might tag along for that, just in case it cuts, you know, get a wee quick photo of it myself. Just why not? Perks of the role, I suppose.
Yeah, take as many opportunities as you can. Why not?
And although Glenn mentioned that he thought perhaps we didn't have the best record at New Douglas Park recently anyway, we are beating in six, but there is certainly a few moments in my mind that stand out of us having a few dodgy moments at New Douglas Park. Obviously, that was against Hamilton, but what Clyde players can cause Aberdeen problems? Who should we be looking out for come Friday?
For those that are maybe fit and available after your last comment.
I mean, I may be over-egging that pudding a wee bit, to be honest, but I would love to say Robbie Leach, I'd love to say Lee Hamilton, but as I mentioned. But as far as up the kind of top end of the pitch, Martin Rennie as our top goal scorer, he's your kind of proverbial penalty box striker. Me and my friends joke, if you added up all his goals for Clyde, you're probably still not getting inside the box in distance. But he's got plenty. He's just about 1 and 2 this season, and a kind of smattering of assists. He's just back from injury, thankfully. Probably one of the more unexpected goal threats for ourselves this season has been 19-year-old defender Logan Dunnicky. He's 19, but he's nearly 19 foot tall at this rate. He just seems, every time you see him, he's just growing and growing and growing. So he's been kind of turned in into a wing back in recent weeks. Mm. We've got the world's tallest wing back. Logan's 6 foot six, 6'7", that kind of, he's a big laddie. Every time, as I see, you see him, you're like, yeah, you've went another couple of inches. He's always darting under every bloody door frame. And he bagged quite a few with his head, but he tucked a few away with his feet as well. So he's our second top goal scorer with five this season. Mm-hmm. I would imagine he'll be more central. He'll be back in at the kind of heart of the defence, given the kind of options that we have available. Keane Leslie, I mentioned as well, really fast kind of winger. Can play up top, but I think he's better suited facing and taking players on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, as far as goal threats, maybe Connor Young as well. Connor can play in a variety of positions, and I don't think we've quite found the right one for him. Mm. He only came to us quite late in September. He left Rangers' B team, effectively, late last June. I think Bradford City were sniffing about him, and we bet him, he bet another overseas club to his signature. Mm. And it's taken Connor a wee while to get going, but he's now got 4 goals, I think, for us and a couple of assists. But I think he can bring a lot more to the table than he's shown so far. Mm-hmm. Very, very, very good finisher. We've just not seen enough of it. So they're probably, I'm basically just mentioning those that have actually scored goals for us.
Friday night under the lights is a fine opportunity, and I'm sure, as you mentioned, for Clyde to make a headline, as you said. And I'm not going to sit here and ask you like players who you think are going to hurt Clyde, because I think we could speak through some of the most obvious players in our team. You've already mentioned the kind of internationalists we possess, but I think the kind of point that you made about that opening 15-20 minutes of the game on Friday night really does feel huge for both teams. You know, an early goal for us, you know Clyde maybe fear the floodgates opening, with the greatest of respect, but keeping that
when Clyde can see one, a second and third normally follows.
But, you know, 0-0 20 minutes in, and, you know, I'm sure if the fans that are down on Friday night aren't nervous, I'm sure the commentators will be mentioning that game from last season and saying, look, you know, Aberdeen still haven't scored, and it you know, I pray to God that it's not one of those nights where it's us that are struggling in the final third, although I'm sure it's another straw that you'll be clutching onto come Friday night as well. But I think, look, I'm glad the game's on telly. I'm sure it's shaping up to be a classic Scottish Cup encounter. I'm just hoping it goes a lot smoother than last year, Callum, because I don't think we can take another live episode after a Scottish Cup exit.
I've really been trying not to think about it, although it's next to impossible. I was waiting to say something to him. It can't be any worse than that, can it? Oh, I shouldn't have done it.
My eyes are lighting up, Callum. Yes.
I think it's just the PTSD we've still got from mm-hmm. last year. You mentioned as well, Paul, you know, we're a different team, different management from last season. I don't think, you know, Barry's going to set up to be, I wouldn't say that Jim was disrespectful towards Darvill, but I think that Barry will look to play his strongest 11. He's not going to leave the likes of Graham Shinney on the bench for 90 minutes. And I'm sure both Boyan and Duco will feature for whether it's 90 minutes or throughout the game. This, with the way that the kind of fixtures have been rescheduled for Aberdeen, we are going to have another busy kind of set of games going into January and February. And with that kind of cold storage we're coming out of, it's a good opportunity to get minutes in the legs for players as well. So I think we'll be certainly starting the game with our strongest 11. And Callum, I'm sure you would be in agreement that that's the way we better be looking at. And I suppose it's interesting kind of hearing you speak about wing backs, Paul. Callum, it would be a miss for us not to kind of speak about this, is let's hope we don't see another back five going into this game, because I'm sure Ian McCall's eyes would light up if he sees Aberdeen lining up with a back five on Friday night.
I don't even know how I'll react if that team sheet comes out at quarter to seven and we've started with a back five at Clyde. No disrespect, but I mean, when we've changed diverting from it against likes Livingston and Ross County. We've looked infinitely better, and I just hope he's not had too much time to overthink it and just stick to what he knows and what he loves with that five at the back. I would not be a happy boy on my way down the road.
Yeah, same starting lineup that started against Ross County, and I'd be more than content to take on Friday. But Paul, really appreciate your time tonight on Monday to preview the game on Friday. Obviously, you'll be in attendance as part of your role with the club. So hopefully everything goes smoothly on the night on Friday. I just hope that the result is in our favour.
Thank you for your first point, and I wholeheartedly disagree with your latter one, but no, I appreciate you inviting me on. It's always good to kind of let folks know about the wider aspects of the club as well. We know where we are at the moment, and there's a lot of work going on at the club, and hopefully not just once we write a headline on Friday, but there's more positive kind of off the field headlines with the club going forward, and maybe the next time we meet each other it's in the heart of Glasgow, where Clyde Football Club should be.
Well, hopefully you guys get back to where you belong in terms of the heart of Glasgow, but further up the leagues as well, so I'm sure that's where you're aiming to be as well. So once again, Paul, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
Well, Callum, hopefully that chat has maybe eased our PTSD fears from last year. And look, I think we both said before that the chat with Paul, any win, any way that we're in the hat will do. I know Paul's maybe not confident on Clyde's defence, and I think he's absolutely right. The earlier we can score, the better. Just ease all nerves concerned.
Certainly. Frustrations do tend to build in Aberdeen crowds. And I just think everyone will be thinking back to what happened last year. So anything that will settle the nerves nice and early on would be excellent. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm feeling a little bit better about the fact some of the new signings that have improved their side are cup tied. That's made me feel a little bit more positive. I am a bit worried still, however, and I don't think until full time, and if we're in the next round, then I don't think I'll be content until then.
Yeah, and quite sad of where we've come in our Scottish Cup recent history, that we're content with Clyde players being injured and cup tied to ease any sort of nerves. But there we are. And I'm sure, you know, I think as Paul said to us kind of off recording, it's the first time the two teams have met in over 30 years. I know he wishes it was up here to give them a bit of a better payday opportunity as well, and a chance to come to Pittodrie. But a lot of people will be looking forward to an away day in the Scottish Cup. It's a shame it's not a Saturday. It's on local telly, and safe journey to everyone making the trip down to Clyde. We'll be back in the next week, looking hopefully at the Scottish Cup draw and previewing the games to come at the end of January. So thanks very much to tuning in to this latest episode of Red Tinted Glasses. Until next time.
Sports Social Podcast Network.